not to have choir practice and do anything tonight, I'll let Kathy pick out the song. So, if you have a complaint, you can talk to the piano player tonight.
We're not going to complain.
Let's stand and sing, number 426.
Say, Jesus, Jesus.
8:08 for our last selection tonight. And while you're turning over there, as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer, and Brother David comes after we sing, just share this piece with you. If you didn't see it, I had forgotten about it, but you know they always do the year-end review on the news.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight.
Amen. Amen.
I threw y'all a curveball because I was sitting here looking at this. I gave y'all all the hard words to say, didn't I? But that's all right. That's all right. We're going to be starting in the book of Deuteronomy. We're starting Peter on Sunday. We're going to be in Deuteronomy on Wednesdays. And we're going to start going through that book. I tell you what we'll do, though. Let's invert it tonight. And I'll start y'all off in Deuteronomy 1. But let me read the bold-faced text, and y'all read the non-bold-faced text. It might come out better that way. I don't know. All right, so if y'all will stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, I'll start you off in Deuteronomy 1:1-8, and I'll do the bold text. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel
on this side of Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizabah.
There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea.
And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them.
After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei.
On this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare his law, saying,
the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount.
Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them.
Amen.
May God bless the reading of His Word.
Amen.
You know, God's people are a people of purpose. And I've been praying, I've said, God, what do we need to study next? And God put Deuteronomy on my heart. Deuteronomy is a very interesting book. Jesus, in His ministry, quoted from the book of Deuteronomy more than He did any other book of the Bible. It was very heavily used by our Lord. And Deuteronomy has an overall theme to it, and that is this, that when God saves someone, He saves them from something to something else. I'm going to say that again. He saves them from something to something else. He saved Israel from Egypt. He saved them to possess the promised land. That's what He did. The book of Deuteronomy is, the name Deuteronomy means the second law. And this is actually the second giving of the law. If you remember your Bible, and we'll go over this again as we talk about it, the first generation of Israel, God brought them from Egypt. He brought them all the way to the Jordan, and He told them, He said, go over into the promised land. The nation went over. They sent 12 spies over into the promised land. When they went into the promised land and looked around, they came back and they said, boy, this land is just as beautiful as you said it would be, God. It's a land of milk and honey. It's a great place. It's a wonderful place to be. But the people there are fierce. They're big. They're giants. The Anakim are there. And these people are huge. And they're warlike. And we just don't think we can defeat these people. And so 10 of the spies told the people, we don't need to go into the land. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, spoke up. And if you want to write this down, this story is complete in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Numbers 13 and 14. And it's going to be recounted again in the book of Deuteronomy. But the people listened to the 10 spies. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go into the land. They said, the people are big. But our God is bigger.
Amen.
And our God is always bigger. Amen.
Amen.
Don't look at the people. Look at the God that you serve. But the people wouldn't listen. And so God told them, he said, that, well, you're not going to go into the land. And he said, y'all spent 40 days wandering around in the land spying it out. I'm going to make you perish a year for every day that you wasted. So they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now, if you look at the text that we just read, it tells you, it says in verse number 3, well, look at verse number 2. They're 11 days' journey from Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea was where they were going to go into the promised land. That's where the entry point was.
Amen.
And they were going to move from Mount Sinai to there, and there's 11 days between the two. The first generation of Israel spent time at Mount Sinai and failed God. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But God was determined that Israel was going to go into the promised land. And if you look at verse number 3, it says, it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month. You say, well, what does that mean? This is the first generation that has already died out. The 40 years has passed, and the second generation has been 11 months in the shadow of the mountain. And God gave them a second giving of the law, in which he affirmed he was going to look after them, and he was going to love them, and he was going to take care of them. That's what Deuteronomy tells us. God gives us a second chance. Aren't you glad God gives us second chances?
Amen.
I really am, because I'm glad God gives third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. He does. But something else you'll learn as we go through this book, you don't want to make God mad. Because if you get on the wrong side of God, God can kill you. He can take you out. But God's will is always going to be fulfilled. So God saves you from, and he saves you to. And you say, well, preacher, what does this have to do with us? My Bible tells me that my God has never changed. It says that the God of the Bible is the same. He said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, in God there is no shadow of turning. When God saves a people, he gives them a purpose. I was going down for my favorite activity today, which is eating fried chicken. And I headed over to Popeye's. Y'all been to Popeye's yet?
No.
Boy, I like Popeye's. It's over there in the Kroger parking lot. And they've already got my picture on the wall. I've already been over there so many times. But I was going down that stretch and I saw this church on the side. And I've never noticed it before. But the sign in front of the church. Have you seen this, Jerry? The sign says, a church with a purpose. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. That's what the name of their church is. A church with a purpose. I want y'all to know every church is supposed to be a church with a purpose.
Amen.
God gives us a purpose. That's what he wants us to do. And God saves you from sin. A Christian is supposed to have a purpose. He saves you from sin to serve him and bring glory to him. So we're supposed to live for him and shine for him. And God promises as long as we seek first his kingdom, he's going to look after us.
Amen.
And that's another story we find out in Deuteronomy. So let's start going through this. First of all, God's people are purposefully saved by God. You know, we all have mountaintop experiences. And if you'll notice again in verse number 3, it says, it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month. Do you see that 11th month? These people, this second generation of Israel, has camped around Mount Sinai, and they've been in the shadow of the mountain resting for 11 months. God gave them that time to rest. And he gives us all time where he gives us a rest. He gives us time where he lets us regenerate. I'm glad that we're not always in the valley. Amen?
Yeah.
But God gives us time of peace so that we can learn from him. It was while they were in these 11 months that God gave the book of Deuteronomy to Moses and that second law to Israel. So God educates us while we're on the mountaintop or while we're up there on Sinai. He educates us. But then God said in verse number 6, he said, the Lord our God spoke to, and look what he says, unto us. He didn't speak just to Moses. He spoke to all of Israel. He spoke to the hearts of the people. He spoke unto us in Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. Horeb is the old name for it. Mount Sinai is the new. And he said, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. He said, you've been here long enough. Now it's time to move. And God was going to send his people into Canaan. Now, why Canaan? There's a reason for Canaan. Number one, the reason for Canaan is this. Canaan is a sin-destroyed land. The Canaanites are actually descendants of Ham, who was one of the sons of Noah. And if you remember, Canaan was cursed by Noah and cursed by God. Because the Canaanites, Ham looked on his father's nakedness. Now what that means, I don't exactly know, but I know it had to do something with sexual sin. And he looked on his father and exposed his father's nakedness. And Canaan was cursed. It was a cursed people. God told the Canaanites, he said, you will always serve your brothers. And the Canaanites are possessing the land right now. Now this land is lost. God saved Israel from Egypt to take them to Canaan. But he sent them into the land because the land is lost. He wants his people ruling in that land. He wants the glory of God rising up in that land. He wants to take over that lost place with his word. You know, the Bible tells us that the world is sick, and it is sick. It's sin sick. You know, Jerry was talking about the commercials he saw on TV about two men together, two women together. That is a sickness. And we've been convinced, or the American people have been convinced, that this is absolutely normal. They've been convinced it's absolutely normal to jump from bed to bed. It's absolutely normal to experiment with sex before you get married. The Bible says no. The Bible says that that is the wrong way to live. The Bible says that when you come together to be married, you don't come together because the sex is good. You come together because God is in it and the love is good.
That's right.
You see, love is more than just a physical attraction. Love is something that goes well beyond that.
That's right.
That's what it is. Our world is sick. But Jesus said, he came into the world in Mark 2:17. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God is going to send Israel into Canaan. And they're going to chase out, and they're supposed to chase out sin, to not compromise with sin, and they're supposed to stand for the glory of God. Now, God spoke not to Canaan. It says the Lord spoke to us in Horeb. Y'all saw that word there, us? That's the Israelites. God never speaks to the unbelieving anything but the gospel. The unbelievers are going to be dark. The unbelievers do not understand the ways of God. The ways of God are foolishness to unbelievers. They don't understand that it's sinful, that it's wrong. They don't understand those things. God speaks to the believer who is in union with him. He doesn't speak to believers who depart from him. When believers walk away from God, you lose the voice of God. But when you walk with God and you speak and you follow him, God speaks to your heart. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Psalm 50 says this. Psalm 50 verse 16 says, unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? You hate instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. See, he's talking about sinners. He says, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speaketh against thy brother, and slandereth thine own mother. But God says, I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. He tells us over in Proverbs 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. God wants his people who have been saved from the world to go into the world and to share God with them, to let them see God in their lives. He saved Israel from the slavery of Egypt, and he told them to go forward into Canaan, and they were supposed to take that land. You know, we're to tell people. We're to tell people about the Lord. We're to tell people that Jesus Christ loved us before we ever loved him.
That's right. Amen.
We're to share that love with. We're to tell them that Jesus was manifest to take away our sins. Not to justify sin, but to take sin away. Because the wages of sin is death. When sin abides in a marriage, in a family, in a person, it destroys, it corrupts, it destroys it. It breaks the nation down. And that's the state that Canaan is in right now. Canaan is into child sacrifice and other terrible things because they have turned away from God. You need to tell people that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. And you need to tell people that Jesus is that Lamb of God. He is the bread of life that comes. Jesus said in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And he said, you have seen me and believe me not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, isn't that good words?
Amen.
God loves everybody. Did y'all know that?
That's right.
But God hates to see what sin does in a society. I think God hates to see what sin is doing in America today.
That's right.
And I think we need more churches of purpose, more Christians of purpose, who will stand up and say, that way is wrong, but not say it self-righteously, but say, but I was wrong too until I met the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I was doing the wrong before the Lord got hold of me.
That's right.
And I still drift off every now and then. Don't y'all drift a little bit?
Amen.
I got 3 amens, the rest of you lying. Amen.
Amen.
We all drift a little bit every now and then.
Amen.
And God has to get us back in there. But he does. He brings us right back. But God saves you on purpose. Number 2, God's people are purposefully set apart by God. They're set apart by God. When God saved Israel from Egypt, he did not immediately send them into Canaan. He let them rest. He let them grow. They wandered in the wilderness, and the children that were this high when they first went in became adults over that 40 years. And then they sat and they learned. God gives us times of learning. But then he says, I've given you this learning not just so that you can know, but so that you can share with others.
Amen.
That's what it's about. You know, this is not so you can go home and say, I've got a lot of Bible knowledge, but it's so that you can share that with others. Because there's people hurting. Like I said, when I started praying, and I'm so glad I had Frank with me. I probably got lost coming home the other day when I had Frank with me. But we were at NHC Columbia. But, you know, praying in the hallway there, I just had people coming up, didn't we, Frank? Just coming up, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? People need that. They're desperate for that. People want what we have, so we must not hide it. Okay, we must share it with them. We must tell them, this is it. You know, the grace you're saved by is not the grace that you move forward by. Now, let me explain that. Over in 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're to grow in grace. So the grace that you're saved by is a little grace. You just got to believe that Jesus will save you. Amen? I didn't know very much about Jesus. I just knew that I was a sinner and God said he would save me. That's all I really knew when I went to the altar and prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life. I knew just about this much. But once I was saved, you have to grow from here, and you have to start feeding on the Word of God.
Amen.
And as you feed, God teaches you deeper things, not so that you can just keep it inside, but so that you can share it with others, so you can take it into Canaan. I've told y'all this before. Romans 8:29 tells us this, that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's God wants us to be just like Jesus. So everything that comes our way comes with the intent of making us like Jesus. Even the bad things. When the bad stuff comes, we need to process that through this filter. That Jesus, that God is trying to make me like Jesus. The bad stuff isn't coming because God hates me. It's because he loves me and he's shaping me. You know, as Israel wandered for 40 years, the children watched their parents die. But it was shaping them. And what it taught them was this, as they got older, they learned that God kept his word.
Amen.
God told them, he said, I will protect you. Every time Israel wandered in the wilderness, no one killed the Israelite. God allowed them to die a natural death. And when they went through terrible areas where there were fierce warriors and other people that came to attack them, Israel defeated those people without any battle whatsoever because God fought for them.
Amen.
And by the time they got to that age where they could go in as the second generation, they had seen God defeat the enemy over and over and over again. Now, can you look back in your life and think of times when God has done wonderful things for you?
Amen.
When He's changed things for you. I can remember things.
Amen.
I can remember back in 1983, my left leg was nearly tore off my leg, tore off my body. And I remember going through that and suffering and the agony of that. Just to breathe was agony. But one thing that kept me going was remembering what God told me. He said, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. I don't know how this is good, Lord. Have y'all ever been like that talking to God? I don't know how this is good, Lord. But You said it is. And my God has never told me a lie. Has He ever told you a lie?
No.
My God has never told me a lie. So I know it's for my good. Amen. Every day the doctors would come by and press my toes. I didn't know what they were doing. Tammy, they were looking to see if I had circulation. And if the circulation had ended, that I would be walking on a peg today. And then the church came together. The church learned because I had a church family that gathered around. See, that's something else I learned while in the hospital. You need a church family.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many times I've visited people in the hospital who are in there by themselves and they don't have a church family. And they call on me. I've had people call me up from the nursing home and say, Brother David, will you come down here? This person doesn't have a preacher. And I go down there and I pray with them. And I ask them, where do they go to church? Well, I never went to church. Well, now they're in a dark valley with no family. Let me tell you something. It's scary in the dark when nobody's with you.
Amen.
But what got me through all of that was I had a family around me. The Israelites the same way. They had come through the wilderness 40 years, and the ones that are standing at Mount Sinai, 11 days from their destiny, they have got a family around them that loves them and loves the Lord, and they're ready to go.
Amen.
They're ready to go into the land. They're supporting one another. God never makes a church of one person. It's always everybody together.
Amen.
Everybody together. I tell you, I couldn't do it by myself. I can't do it by myself. Y'all got to help. Amen.
Amen.
And I desperately need you, and I love you, and I'm glad you're here. I need you here. But that's what it's for.
Amen.
You know, so all these things, you've got to have this. I learned something else, too, that I could share with you as I went through that time. No matter how bad the pain, God will make it a dream in time. And I say that having lost a son at 17 years old and having had my leg crushed. I've been through some rough times in my life. But I can tell you this, that my God has made that a dream that I can accept now. And I know that He's doing it for my good. Y'all follow that?
Amen.
God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. So God purposefully sets us apart. We've got a purpose. Your purpose is to be like Jesus. Now I know y'all may not have somebody sitting near to you, but turn around and tell somebody, you're to be just like Jesus. You may have to spin it and speak across the aisle and holler at them.
Right. You're to be
like Jesus. That's what God is doing. Everything that God is doing. He wants you to be like Jesus, kind like Jesus, giving like Jesus, worshiping like Jesus, praying like Jesus, being every way like Jesus.
Amen.
And when you're like Jesus, the world will see that and they'll say, I want some of that.
Amen.
I want some of that. You know, the world doesn't want a sour Christian. Because the world is a sour place anyway. Amen.
Amen.
The world wants a smiling Jesus Christian.
Amen.
That's what Christian means. And the Bible tells you, if you'll follow the Lord, it's going to do it. Philippians 1:6 says, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You will one day be like Jesus. You will be. When you get to heaven, you'll be exactly like Him. Jesus said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They followed Him. They left their nets and followed Him. You know, we're not part of this world. Jesus said in John 17, as He prayed for us, He said, I pray, dear Father, not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Set them apart through your truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Amen. Those who belong to Jesus do not belong to the world. We get confused on that sometimes because we've got homes here, we've got cars here, we've got children here. But beloved, this world is not your home. Your destiny is somewhere else. But while you're here, God wants you to make it like heaven. And the way you do that is by sharing, becoming like Jesus and then sharing that with other people. So this is how you can do it. Number three, God's people are purposefully sent by God. It says in Deuteronomy 1:2, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And then he said in verse 6, he said, you've dwelt here long enough. If you're saved, you're saved for a greater purpose. God doesn't save his people so we just huddle together and sit in this church and just talk about how good God is. I could do that all day long. But God wants us to grow for him. He wanted Israel to go in and take the land. He has a plan and a purpose for us. He told his people, he said, it's time to move. It's time to pack up your tents and head on into the promised land to do what the other generations did not do. Now, the other generations should have believed in the Lord. They should have stepped forward, but they didn't. They didn't. But this next generation is going to go in, and God's going to do some fantastic work with them. We're going to see that. You know, God doesn't want us to live defeated lives. He wants our lives to be victorious. He does. He wants us living for him. And Israel, following the Lord into the promised land, stayed victorious as long as they kept their eyes on the Lord. Amen. So y'all keep looking at the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Keep following. Keep doing. If you're still here, God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
Your life is not over. I've had people tell me, they said, well, you know, I worked for the Lord when I was younger, but I'm going to retire now. Well, I told them, I said, you're telling me you want to die.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you're still here because God has a purpose for you.
That's right.
When your purpose has ended here, like Paul said in 1 Timothy, he said, I have fought my fight. I have finished what God gave me to do. I've run my course. He said, there is laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness that will not be taken away from me. He said, I'm ready. You know, and he was. It wasn't long after he wrote Timothy that he went to Rome and literally lost his head. I'm glad they don't do that to preachers anymore, aren't you, Jerry? But he lost his head. They wiped his head off. But he knew it was coming. But he said, I know I'm at the end of my journey. Listen, I want to get to heaven one day, and I know I'm going to get there. But when I get there, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's what I want to hear. Don't y'all?
Amen.
I want the Lord to tell me, I'm going to make you ruler over a life because you are honest and true over the few things. Y'all keep serving the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm excited about Deuteronomy. We'll come back next week. And next Wednesday night, I'll give y'all a little book to follow me, okay? I love you. Thank you for being here tonight. And I don't know if y'all ran most of this side off over here, but this side looks pretty good. But I like this side over here, too. Y'all are looking great. Well, we're ready to go. I got 2 minutes till quitting time. Let's end with a prayer. And I think I'm going to ask my brother Buster if he would close us with a final prayer.